over the years, I've encouraged married people to write. But Father, I have never published a thing in my life. I don't tell this to everybody, but people that I have, well, see, a good education, or at least have a good mind, can express themselves on paper, I tell them, write. I must have told you the story about the woman in Chicago. Remember? Who called up the provincial residence. I was working with the Jesuit provincial in Chicago. Telephone rang. I answered the telephone. One was calling from a jeweler's in Chicago. Father, she said, I'm here in the jewelry store. I want to buy a locket for a relic of St. Anthony. And the jeweler says, I'm a Catholic. As a jeweler, I don't want to sell that locket to a woman who's going to wear relic of St. Anthony around her neck. Go someplace else. But you men, you know a woman's will. So she told the jeweler, if I call up the Jesuits and they say, okay, will you agree? In a moment of weakness, he said, yes. When I told her yes, she could wear the locket. His conscience was not clear yet, so he got on the telephone himself. Identified myself. Did you tell this woman? Yes, I told this woman. She could wear the medal or the relic of St. Anthony around her neck. But aren't relics for churches? Not for women's necks? Well, yes, they are. They should be in churches, but there's nothing really wrong if she wears it with reverence and a relic around her neck. All right. Bang the telephone. The next day, I told you this, didn't I, some of you?
No.
Thank you. The next day, the woman comes over. It was no ordinary locket. You know the baby Ben clocks? I usually have thick, about almost 3 inches across. And bringing on the outside just, oh, the conversation feast for everybody that she met. So she went, here's the locket, Father. Thanks. The jeweler finally bought it. Sold it to me. I brought it. So we talked for a few minutes, and I asked, what do you do for a living? Well, children were grown up. Husband had a good job. So I do some charity work, and I play bridge, and, well, I said, that all? She said, yes. Do you have a right? Oh, Father, please, please. The last thing I wrote a poem in my college days. When I wanted to humiliate myself, I read that poem. I have written nothing since. So I told her, no. I told you to, you know, do some writing. You talk to your husband. Then she told me her husband was one of the editors for the American Book Club. So that night she called me up. Just a very, very sad voice. I talked to my husband. He said, the Jesuit is right. He started writing. 5 years later, I was giving a retreat in South Bend in Notre Dame University. And before the first conference, walked around to the bookshop and looked around the paperbacks there. And there was a paperback by Rita Anton. My friend, wearing the relic of St. Anthony. I've seen more than you realize. It's not just a pious afterthought. You people who have the faith are not married. Should be much more articulate than you are. What form that articulation takes place, would be up to the circumstances in which I don't say you find yourself, you place yourself into. Right. That's spelled W-R-I-T-E. The world needs what you know, and only you best know, who both have the faith and are living a married life. Marital love must be a love of sacrifice, or a love that sacrifices. Remember, every sacrifice is the surrender of something precious to God. And the most precious possession we have on earth, does anybody not know what's the most precious possession we have on earth?
Our will.
Our own wills. In fact, this may surprise you, but theologically speaking, it is the only possession we really have. Everything else, of course, everything has been given us by God. Nevertheless, in the last analysis, there is only one thing over which we have, as far as we can use the term, mastery, control, one thing that we own, with an ownership that is a deep mystery, with an ownership for which we shall be held responsible. You'll be held responsible only for this, nothing else. How we have used our wills, nothing else. Marital love must be a love that sacrifices, a love that surrenders one's will to the one whom you claim to love. In fact, and by now there are scores of other definitions of love. One good definition is, love means willing what the person I claim to love wants. I will for that other person whom I claim to love, what he or she wills. The essence of love is a union of wills. Oh, when I counsel young people, as I did for my 5 years at Western Michigan, and not once, but often enough to say it, a couple keeping company, they first introduce the girl or the fellow that she or he were dating. Then, stay for a while, then say he'd come back later on. Well, Father, what do you think? Do you think she'd make a good wife? Well, I tell him, as I tell her too, you are different personalities. In most cases, I had to tell the fellow, she's got a stronger will than you have. Well, then you've got to decide whether her will chooses what is God's will. Because you can have horrendous problems in your married life if her will is set on what your faith tells you is contrary to the will of God. We go on. Giving up one's own convenience, preference, time, you name it, and I would say among the things that a married couple must learn in our city before they marry is to realize they must surrender to the one they love their time. You may think that what she's doing is a waste of time. Well, that's beside the point. What you think is not important. Is it important to her? Marital love seeks to please the other. This is what the essence of love is. To please the one that we love is the essence of the love of God. To please Him. But I come back to what I said before. Those who are yet to marry, to make sure that their prospective spouse wants what your faith tells you is what God wants. Because then, well, you can comfortably surrender your will either to her or for the wife to him, being sure that you're not, well, giving up your obedience to the will of God. Marital love tries to adjust to the other and not being married physically myself, but I am married to the church, the spouse of Christ. You got to constantly adjust. The wife makes plans, the husband makes plans. It's a good idea to plan things together. And of course, the more self-willed one person in a marriage is, the more liable the other person is. Oh, it may look like love, but it can be weakness. Because you never surrender to a human will where that human will wants is contrary to the will of God. And here I could talk for hours and hours. Finally, marital love is concerned with the needs of the other. Clearly, not the wants of another person, but the needs. But to recognize the needs, then I must know my faith. But I must also know the person, know that this person is him or herself not a selfish person who would use me to increase his or her pleasure. All of this and much more is locked up in this one page that I thought we should try to cover in this lecture. Let's close with a prayer. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Gloria Patri et Filio et Spiritui Sancto, sicut erat in principio, et nunc et semper, et in saecula saeculorum. Amen. Mater Divini Amoris, ora pro nobis, in nomine Patris et Filii, Spiritus Sancti. Amen.
The Institute on Religious Life has presented these lectures by Father John A. Hardin, S.J. All rights are reserved. Any duplication or reproduction of this material in any media form without the express written consent of the Institute on Religious Life is strictly prohibited. For more information on other material in this series or on the Institute on Religious Life, call area code 313-930-7470.